Hey, welcome back. Today I'm talking about my 11 wants for a perfect classroom. That's right, if I could do different things for my classroom, this is what I would want to make it just the way I wanted it. How do you like all those wants there? How about you? Have you ever thought about that? If you've never taught before, what would your perfect classroom look like? If you are teaching right now, if you could change some of the things, or if you could get certain things that would make it just right, what would they be? Well, think about it. Thanks for listening. Enjoy.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
Okay, let's talk about this just a little bit. If you already have a classroom, if you teach, if you could do anything to remake that classroom, money's not a problem, what would you do? What changes would you make? And by the way, if you're getting ready to be a first-year teacher and you don't have your classroom yet and you're looking forward to it, have you thought about what your perfect classroom would look like if money was no problem? Well, today I'm going to tell you my 11 wants for my perfect classroom. So let's see if any of ours match. And I hope you're dreaming because maybe you can just make that real or make some change this summer. Or for your first classroom, you can make sure that you say, you know, this is really what I want so that you can try and figure out how to get one of those really wants. So let's start with my 11. I know that's a nice even number there. Number one want for my perfect classroom would be I want tables and chairs, not desks. I would love to have tables and chairs. And what I'd love to be able to do is to be able to move them around. Because with tables and chairs, you can move them. You can stack them in the corner. You can move them out of the way. And you use all the floor. You can just use the chairs, put them in circles, put them in groups. You can use the tables without the chairs because you can stand and work. Yeah, there's a nice idea. But you can move everything out of the way and just use the whole floor depending on what the big activity is that you're doing. I love tables and chairs. Give you space to work, and you can be very creative with that space with tables and chairs. Now, along with this, my second want for my perfect classroom would be permission to decorate and paint the walls. And let's kind of say and or paint the walls. One of the things that's really cool about a classroom is your ability to make it personal. Your ability to make it a little bit of you in there and a little bit of the kids. And that comes in many different ways, shape, forms, sizes, you know, whatever. I remember one of my teachers, she asked for permission and I gave it to her to paint her classroom lavender. Nice, soft color. And it was wonderful. It was known as that purple room. But it was cool stuff. I've had a teacher who was amazing at being able to paint designs, and he painted the world, a huge world map on his wall, and they used that wall, that wall map. You know, what about you? What would you do if you could paint the room? If you were allowed to do that, what would you make sure was painted on the walls? Now, you don't want to get so carried away that you can't use those walls. That's not the point of this. The point of it is making it a personal and having its own personality. That's important because it puts a little bit of you into the classroom. If you could get the kids to help you, that's even better because then you let a little bit of them into the classroom also. It becomes their space. What a cool idea. Well, I love that idea. So with permission to decorate and paint the walls, decorating is very important because we're not just talking about putting up posters that you don't refer to. We're talking about the ability to put things on the walls that you will use to help your instruction throughout the year. Now, notice that I said use. We're not just talking about putting something up on the wall and then you forget about it and that's all it is just something on the wall. No, you want stuff on the wall that you can use. Like, if you're going to, one of the things you should be doing is emphasizing content vocabulary, and so you create interactive word walls, and you don't need a bulletin board. Now, it's nice to have a bulletin board, but you could just use the wall itself, because that painting tape that you can get today, it sticks on anything, comes off, and you don't ruin paint jobs and stuff like that. But, you want to be able to use the walls for instructional space as well. And so being able to use all those different areas is very important. So being able to decorate and paint your walls, there's something for my wants for my room. So number one is I want tables with chairs. I don't want desks. I want permission to decorate and be able to paint my walls so I can put a little bit of the personality of the kids and myself into the room. Number three, I want space inside my room. You can't be too small, which means that I'm going to have to do without some furniture if I want a lot of space. But that's okay because I don't need all that furniture. There are a few things that I'm going to want, like a bookcase or two. But other than that, there's lots of stuff I could probably get rid of because the more space I have, the more we can spread out, the more the activities and the engagement type activities that I can have to get the kids wanting to do more. Space is very helpful because the less space you have, the more the kids get irritated with each other. I like space. So tables with chairs, number one. Number two, permission to decorate, paint my walls. Number three, space inside the classroom, which may mean that I have to give up some furniture, which I'm sure there are colleagues that would say, I'll take it. But I'm okay with that because give me that space. Number four, access to an interactive board and projector or combination thereof, whatever. Because some projectors today can turn any wall into an interactive board. You know, but the idea of being able to have, to be able to use a wall to project images and take virtual field trips, as well as to, you know, have the kids come up and manipulate different sorts of activities and such to help them with their learning, to help them with their engagement, to help them show how you can use technology to just help you become such a learner of all things. I love those boards. And, you know, and today the technology is kind of outpacing the actual technology of the board itself. That's why there are projectors that make the walls come alive. Whatever that is, you know, it's such a cool type of technology to actually help the kids get engaged, but you can do so many cool things with it. Like have virtual field trips where you take a look at the caves in France and look at the paintings left over from the ancient humans. Very cool. And remember, you can't afford to go there, so hey, boom, we can put it on the wall and interact with it. Very nice. All right, so tables with chairs. Number two, permission to decorate paint walls. Number three, space inside. Number four, access to an interactive board or projector and or projector. Well, my fifth want for my perfect classroom would be the technology like tablets and laptops, you know, Chromebooks, that type of thing, for each student. Now, I don't want, you know, it's not going to dominate my class because that's not what it's there for. It's there to be able to use as a tool. I see technology as an engaging tool that can help them figure lots of things out about the world. And I want to be able to give them opportunities to utilize these tools because they're out there. You know, when they leave high school, when they leave elementary school, when they leave school, period, they have access to these types of tools. And I would love for them to have them because we can use them for so many engaging activities. And they can use them to help them learn about the world. What a great tool. I wish I'd had those way back when, man. So 11 wants for my perfect classroom. So far, I'm at 5. I've got tables with chairs, permission to decorate paint walls, space inside, access to an interactive board and or projector, and tablets, laptops, you know, Chromebooks, those types of things. Number 6 is access to social media. Now, in a lot of our schools, it's been outlawed or shut down, right? Now, we got to figure out how to get beyond that because, yeah, there's going to be some times when you're going to have some issues with it. But shutting it down is not the right thing. We've got to figure out how to teach the kids how to use it responsibly because they can interact with schools across the nation and across the world through social media. Not only that, they can also, you can use it as a teacher, like you can use Twitter to have Twitter chats with the whole group on the weekend as they're preparing for the test, and they can ask you questions, or you do study through the Twitter chat. There's any number of ways. My favorite tool, one of my favorite tools at least, is Pinterest. Pinterest, you could post all kinds of boards in there with special help, you know, as a place for them to go for homework help or assistance for that activity that we're doing. And you could actually have classroom boards created so the class, as they're working on a project, posts stuff to the board. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways you could use this social media. How about Instagram? We could create class pages on Instagram, you know, as we're working on projects and such, and we find those images that help us remember or help us focus on what we're doing, that activity. What a cool thing. How about using Skype to connect with other school systems and other classrooms that are like us in other places in this country or others. Very cool. And my all-time favorite here would be YouTube. You know, there's so many different ways you can use it as a research tool. You can use it as a search mechanism, or we could actually start working on making our own YouTube channel, because it's quite, you know, it's so much simpler in these days, because you can use a cell phone to create your own videos. And so maybe what I could do is I give them an example of me teaching, and then they create their own, and we upload it to our class YouTube channel. And it doesn't cost anything, because most of them already had the cameras. What a cool thing. So we could create all kinds of activities there. But they got to have access to this. So my perfect classroom is going to allow me access to social media. I'm also, now notice I'm getting into some technology stuff here, because one of the things I want is I'm going to want a couple microphones so that, and money for hosting, so that, and it doesn't cost that much, I'll say so that one more time, so that I can do it, a class audio podcast. I love this technology. This is so cool. Most kids dream of being some sort of a DJ, right? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. The weather outside is wonderful, and the weather tomorrow will be even better. The next record on the, oh yeah, they're not going to know what a record is. But anyway, my point is that we could create a classroom podcast where maybe it's a weekly podcast. Maybe it's, you know, however, whatever its purpose is that what we're doing is we're sharing information, or we're providing further information about what we're doing in class. I mean, there's any number of ideas, but the audio podcast would be a wonderful tool for extending the learning in my classroom. And I love that idea. Number seven would be microphones so that I could do my podcast and money for hosting. It doesn't cost that much, but you're going to need some so that it doesn't overwhelm your servers and stuff like this, because you really want a real podcast that we could put out there on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play Music and places like that. So number eight, I want a rug. Remember I told you about space? Well, I'm going to want a rug, because this rug is where I'm going to start and stop class or do special readings, or this is where I'm going to give my instructions from. I mean, there's any number of reasons to use a rug. But if you can, and I got to tell you, it works all the way through high school. It doesn't have to be a kindergarten through third grade thing. Nope. Sure doesn't. You'd be surprised how much the kids would love the fact in high school to be able to have a rug to go sit on and listen to whatever assignment you're going to give them. With a rug, maybe you can incorporate that, make it a little different, and put in bushes and make it a journey into the jungle or something. We got to use our imaginations, people. But the point is, I want a rug, and I love those rugs that have different colors on them, like the different color squares, or it's a map of the United States or something like this, and it has different colors of the areas. But the idea is that I'm going to want this big throw rug that I can put down in one area, and that is a special place in my room where we do readings and special instructions and certain activities, and that's where they start and that's where they end. And there's all kinds of great ideas with that. All right, so number eight is that rug. Number nine, outside space. Okay, I know I'm cheating here a little bit, but just a little bit. What my point is that as a teacher, I took my kids outside. Now, I learned a couple lessons about that. Like number one, I learned that I needed to tell the parents ahead of time that we'll be going outside in the next couple of days. So it's important that they do not wear their fanciest, most expensive clothing for the next couple of days, because they will possibly get dirty. Yeah, that suede jacket was a little expensive. I also learned that you want to tell parents that so that then they let you know that, if their child is allergic to ant stings or bee stings or ant bites, excuse me, whatever the technical term is there, you want to make sure that they send them with their Benadryl and their different sorts of medicines they might have to have just in case they were stung or bitten by something. Finally, just the idea that you want to let them know ahead of time, because we're going to have some fun outside. It's possible we're going to get sweaty, and they might want to bring, extra antiperspirant or deodorant or something for afterwards. But I want to be able to use the outside, have space out there where we can go out there and explore, dig up things, bury things. I'm really not kidding there. You put stuff in the ground and you have them come out and dig it up like they're archaeologists and speculate about what they found, what the civilization did that made this thing. Yeah, pretty cool, huh? I want to be able to have outside space. Yeah, I want to be able to go out there. I don't want somebody going, one of our classes has escaped. I think Mr. Mileto is with them someplace. We must Bring them back to the classroom. Dun, dun, dun. I want some outside space. Yes! Great learning can take place out in the sun. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing I learned. When you tell parents, then they make sure they have sunscreen with them. Being in the South, definite must. So now I'm at number 10. And number 10 is, I would like some funds that would, this is not going to be much, but I would like some funds that would allow me to build up a classroom library. Now, see, most teachers do this on their own, and it'd be nice to be able to put together some classroom reading groups that, where we're using books to help us extend what we're doing in the classroom, because this is going to help with vocabulary and building their vocabulary, as well as it's going to help us go deeper into what we're talking about. If I have classroom sets of some of these books, then we can everybody can read the books, which is a nice addition to the classroom. Number 11, and this is going to sound, you just got to bear with me here, all right? But I do need access to a closet or drawers. I know, some of you are going, really, Steve? You need access to a closet or drawers? Yes, because I collect lots of stuff as a teacher. I want stuff for the kids to use when we do activities, because we do role play games, we do activities, we do engaging sorts of activities, and they make stuff, they build stuff. Sometimes it's going to require paint, sometimes it's going to require lots of paper. Whatever, they're going to need stuff. And so I, over the years, I accumulate everything from construction paper to cotton balls to, you know, pine cones or just any number of things that I like to find. Scrap metal, you know, stuff that's pretty cool. So my point is that I want a closet or some drawers that I can put stuff. These are supplies that I'm going to use with the kids. And I'm going to use that stuff, man. It's awesome. Because being able to use glue and paste and scissors and color pencils and then lots of paper scraps and magazine scraps. And you just never know when you're going to need this type of stuff, because different projects require different things. If you're going to engage the kids and engage their minds and engage their imaginations. Yeah. What about you? Have you thought about your 11 wants for your perfect classroom? What would you want? If you could ask, if you could say, if you could tell somebody, these are the 11 things that I would really, really want, what would they be? So once again, let me review. My number one thing would be tables with chairs. Number two, permission to decorate, paint my walls. Number three, space inside the classroom. Means I'm going to have to get rid of some stuff. Number four, access to an interactive board and or projector. Number five, tablets, laptops, Chromebooks, that type of thing for each student to use. But it's as a tool, remember. Number six, access to social media. I can use Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, Skype to help me engage the kids. Number seven, a microphone or microphones, excuse me, and the ability to host a podcast, an audio podcast. What a learning tool that would be. Number eight, a rug. You got to have a rug, man. Number nine, outside space. Number 10, classroom sets of books. Number 11, access to a closet or drawers where I can keep more stuff. So once again, I hope you're thinking about yours. What are your 11 wants? Money's no problem. What would you ask? And what would you make sure that you had in your classroom? Thanks for listening.
We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators.